Good morning. How are y'all? Just in case you don't know, I am not Pastor Terry. Okay, but Pastor Terry has asked me to share this morning, and I thank him for that, for entrusting me to fill in for him this Sunday, especially today being Mother's Day. And why don't we open up with a word of prayer? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning, and ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us this morning, that you would touch us, that you would teach us this morning, Father, in a special way, through your word, Father. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, happy Mother's Day to all you moms and moms-to-be, possibly. And so we ask that you just be blessed this day. We just wish for blessings upon you. And today, being Mother's Day, we always think of moms this day, right? And when I think of my mom, I think of someone who was there for me every time I needed her, right? She was there. Who never seemed to get sick, right? But took care of me when I was sick. I remember, it seems like as a kid, my brother and sisters and I would get sick and have the flu, and, you know, back in the day, we used to get the mumps, and we used to get all those sorts of things, which they have vaccines for now. And, you know, but we'd have all these things and we'd pick up at school or wherever, you know. And mom never seemed to get sick. But she, you know, just never seemed to be that way. But we'd be sick running around. But she always took care of us. She always, when I think of her, I think of someone who helped me get dressed when I was a little guy, right? And who defended me when necessary. Who always made sure that I was well-fed. And who always made sure that I dressed appropriately, even as I got older. Excuse me. And I could list a whole lot more things, but I won't. Those are just a few. And was my mom perfect in the biblical sense? No, right? But she was the perfect mom for me. And I'm sure that many of you feel the same way about your moms, right? And then on Mother's Day, of course, we think of our wives as well. We think of us husbands. We think of our wives. And I think of my wife, my wonderful, beautiful wife. And she's been with me faithfully for over 47 years now by my side. And praise God for that. And she's a wonderful mother to our son. She's a wonderful cook. She always takes care of me when I'm sick. In fact, just recently, she took care of me. I've been kind of under the weather for a little bit. I have this condition, and no, it's not mental, okay? The flares up every once in a while, and I have to take some goofy medication for it and stuff like that, and the medicine makes you feel worse than the condition, it seems like. But she always takes care of me during those times. Very good care. I don't do such a hot job when she's sick of taking care of her, that's for sure. And she still makes sure that I'm dressed appropriately, right? Still does that, even to this day. And she lifts me up when I'm down, and she's always praying for me. And, you know, there's more that I could list about her, but I won't. Is she perfect in the biblical sense, shall we say? No. But she is the one that God gave me, and therefore she's the perfect wife for me. And I'm sure that many of you husbands feel that way about your wives. And this being Mother's Day, you probably think I'm going to speak about, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman or something like that and all those sorts of things that we usually do on Mother's Day, but we're switching things around. I'm going to speak to the husbands and I'm going to speak to the kids, right? And we're all kids, by the way, of someone, right? And a lot of us in here are husbands. And husbands maybe to be soon. Maybe some of you are engaged, for instance. And so I'm going to speak to y'all this morning. So the mothers, this being Mother's Day, can take a rest, right? Don't go to sleep, though, please. So the verses that we're going to be at, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. And I believe that is page 1355 in your pew bullet or your pew Bible there, and so we want you to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be actually in verses 19 and 20. And it says there, actually the verse before it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. We're not going to talk about that today, right? Of course, you husbands like that verse. We're not going to talk about that one. We're going to talk about verses 19 and 20. And if you take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, you will see that it says, husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. And then over in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave her himself for her. Do you realize what these verses are telling us as husbands? Yeah, duh, they're telling us to love our husbands. That's true, right? But what kind of love is that? It isn't speaking about a love that we love her just because she does things for us. You know, she cleans the house. She shops for the food, cooks the food, cleans the dishes, maybe even makes you look good in the presence of others, right? She satisfies your sexual desires and all those sorts of things, but is that why you love her? That shouldn't be it. It should be an agape type of love. That's what this is speaking of. In fact, in the Greek, the word is agapeo. And agape love is an unconditional, sacrificial love. And in Ephesians, you know, it said that Christ also loved the church as he gave himself for her. Husbands, love your wives, right? Like that. That's what that's telling us. And what did Christ do for us, the church, us individually? Well, suffered a lot of pain, that's for sure, right? Suffered a lot of shame, that's for sure, for us. Why? Because he loved us. That should be the attitude we have towards our wives. We love our wives no matter what. Right. And, the question is, as husbands, do you sacrifice for your wife? Would you die for your wife if necessary? Hopefully it never comes to that, right? But you never know. Would you? And that's the question. But that's the attitude that we should have for our wives. And, there's one kind of attitude that kind of just gets my goat, to tell you the truth. Actually, it makes me almost sick sometimes when I think about it a lot. And it's this thing called this macho attitude that you see running around sometimes. I see it sometimes in counseling sessions and so on and so forth. And this whole attitude that, the wife is a servant, if you will, right? And the husband does the manly things and all these sorts of things. And, when he comes home, he expects dinner on the table at 5 o'clock. What, dinner on the table, right? And all these sorts of things. And he doesn't really help with the kids. He does his thing with his guys and things like that. And then he expects his wife to have all these things ready for him. In fact, it's kind of like his wife gets herself ready for work and the kids ready for school in the morning, feeds herself and the kids, drops them off at school, gets herself to work. Then she needs to pick up the kids after school, go home, make the meal, wash the dishes, help the kids with their homework, clean the house, and then tend to her husband as well. All the while, he sits and watches sports or goes out with the guys, does his own thing, thinking, that's her job. I'm the man. I don't do those things, right? Kind of like union workers. So, that's not the attitude that a Christian marriage should be. That's not the way a Christian marriage should be. That's not the way a Christian husband should think of her wife, ever. Okay? Because that is not what she is. Now, I realize the norm, if you will, is where typically the wife does the cooking, does the dishes, and cleans the house and things like that, and the man does the yard work and those types of things. But there's nothing wrong with being the other way around. Absolutely nothing. My dad, as I said, my mom seemed like she never got sick, but I know she did. And I know When my brother was born and my younger sister was born, that was back in the days when, you know, when you gave birth, you were in the hospital for 3 weeks afterwards, you know, all this stuff and things like that. But during those times and during the times that Mom did happen to be sick, Dad had no problem with mopping floors, vacuuming the carpets, doing the dishes, doing the cooking. In fact, it was kind of refreshing when Dad did cooking sometimes. He wasn't a chef by any means, but he had his own little flair to it. You know what I mean? So it was kind of different from Mom's cooking. So once in a while, it's kind of neat, you know? I had no problem with it. And that's the way we should be as husbands. You know, when a wife needs help, it's a typical thing you do in your household. You know, if you run it that way, we shouldn't have any problem with helping our wives clean the house, do the dishes, so on and so forth. In fact, for years, we didn't have an automatic dishwasher. I was the dishwasher, right? And I just kind of figured, you know, my wife, for the most part, worked all day long just like I did. We came home. She would cook up a meal, good meal for my son and I. And I just felt it was the right thing to do was to wash the dishes, right? Now I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but think about those things. And of course, there's people in our church, and I ran across this, and it was kind of surprising to me when not only in church here, but some friends we've met here, especially since we've been here in El Paso, where the husband does the cooking. The wife doesn't typically do the cooking. But I know where wives like to work in the yard and enjoy it. So they work in the yard and the husband does the cooking. And that's cool, right? And the important thing is that it works for you. But the important thing is to realize that your wife is not your servant, right? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Notice it says a helper, not a servant. Not your battle axe, not your old lady, a helper, right? In fact, another word that you might use here is partner. That's what she really is, your partner in every sense of the word. Notice it says comparable helper. She's comparable to you. And the wording in the Hebrew is something like this, a corresponding helper. Not any type of demeaning word. In fact, the same Hebrew word is used in Psalm 33:20. It says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Same word is used in Psalm 75 and Psalm 115, verse 9. And so, it's not a demeaning word at all. It just means that in Genesis, what's said about Adam also is true for Eve. What Adam lacked, Eve supplied. And what Eve lacked, Adam supplied. It was complete teamwork. And that's the way our marriages should be. That's the way we husbands should think of our wives. And of course, the culmination of that was, as it says over in Genesis 2, verse 24, they became one flesh, right? And of course, the Hebrew word there is the same word that's used in Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." The Lord is one, right? And that's speaking of the Trinity. It's speaking of compound unity. And that should be the description of our relationship with our wives. Compound unity. You know, it's interesting when you see husbands and wives who have been married for some time, they start finishing each other's sentences. They start, you know, doing things like they know what each other's thinking. And that happens so often with my wife and I. Sometimes we'll be sitting there watching a TV show, for instance, and we'll have the same thought, and both at the same time we'll say the same thing about it, right? Like maybe that's stupid or whatever it happens to be, right? But it's interesting, but that's what happens in a marriage when you're close to each other. And it is supposed to be a unity. Now, yes, husbands, we're supposed to be the spiritual heads of our households, and I think that's actually something that's lacking today in much of the church, where we're not the spiritual heads that we should be. We're spiritual leaders. We're not dictators. We're not macho men. We're just a leader. But we should have a gentle, loving, we should be gentle, loving, caring husbands who have nothing but the best in mind for our bride. And yes, men, she's your bride all your life, not just on your wedding day. Okay? She's always your bride. Matthew's gospel tells us in chapter 1 of Matthew that Joseph and Mary were betrothed. Now, betrothed in the back in those days is typically, the betrothal period was typically a year long. We can kind of relate it a little bit to what we call our engagement period, right? However, there was difference between the betrothal and the engagement as we have today. That betrothal was as legally binding as a marriage, okay? The only difference was, one, they didn't live together, right, during that time. The marriage was never consummated, but it was legal. They were legally married. And, of course, it tells us there in Matthew that after the betrothal period started, Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant. And that's a big uh-oh. It's not a good thing back in those days. And Joseph wanted to divorce her, but he wanted to divorce her quietly so she wouldn't be disgraced. And while he was kind of pondering over all these things, he had a dream one night. An angel came to him in a dream and gave him the lowdown, gave him the real story, gave him the scoop about what was going on, right? And, of course, we know that Joseph obeyed, okay, and stuck with Mary. And on Joseph's part, and this is what I want you husbands to think about a little bit, on Joseph's part, took a lot of dedication to Mary to do that. It was a real no-no for a girl to get pregnant during this betrothal period back in those days. In fact, she would be looked at as a prostitute or a slut or a loose woman, if you will. But Joseph stuck by her, didn't he? Stuck by her. Even to his own shame, if you will, because it was a shame back in those days to be betrothed to somebody like that, okay? And I believe it wasn't just the message from the angel, because Joseph still could have disobeyed the angel, couldn't he? I mean, you think about it. How many times did God tell us in his word not to do something and we do it anyway? Or he tells us to do something and we don't, right? So Joseph had a choice, just like we have choices. He could have said, nah, I'm not doing it, right? But he didn't. He obeyed the angel, and I believe part of the reason was because he loved and adored Mary. And in that type, in that sense, he was a type of Christ where he bore shame for Mary, just as Christ bore shame for us. Right? Can you imagine Joseph and Mary during this time trying to explain this? You know, I thought about that, and I thought, geez, how many people ask him, well, Mary's pregnant. You know, you can hear the word on the street, so to speak, you know, going over the internet, all this stuff. Being on Facebook and everything like that, Twitter, you know, tweets going out on Twitter and all these sorts of things. And here's Joseph sticking by her. Is that the way we feel about our wives? Are you willing to go through shame for your wife? Are you willing to stick by her through thick or thin, for richer or for poor, as long as you both shall live? Right? Remember that? Don't forget that. Are you? Question. Now, we know as husbands that our wives aren't always at their best, are they? Right? They have their ups, their downs, their good days, their bad days, just like us. Right? And she is your helpmate. She's your equal assistant, your partner, your friend. And we need to treat her as such, no matter whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether she's up, whether she's down. No matter what, we should be treating her as such. And remember one other thing, men. She's God's daughter. And God don't like it when you mess with one of his kids, including you. In the end of Colossians 19 there, it says, do not be bitter towards her. The word bitter there is to become angry, to be harsh. We shouldn't be saying vindictive things to our wives, right? Sometimes, you know, we're good at pushing buttons, you know, and we shouldn't be doing that. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Do you want your prayers to be effective? Guys, do you? Treat your wife well. Love her unconditionally. Comfort her. Be there for her. Don't be bitter to her. Don't be mean to her. Right? You want a perfected prayer life? That's some of the things you do. As a man, I think we need to stop and think about these things, about all the sacrifices that our wives make for us, about all those little things that she does to tell you that she loves you. My wife does so many things for me. It's hard to believe. If I sit down and think about it, I could make a long, long list. Just yesterday, she went out shopping for herself. She ended up buying me 3 shirts. Didn't get anything for herself. She couldn't find what she wanted, but say the least, she always does that, right? And it's like, I don't have any shirts, you know. I have all kinds of shirts, but anyway, that's the thing our wives do for us, right? And think about that, and then let her know how much you love her, and not just today, on Mom's Day, but every day. She deserves it. She deserves your blessings. That's what she deserves. Now, let's take a look at verse 20 of Colossians chapter 3. So I'm going to be speaking to the children. And, of course, we have to remember, too, that we're all children. Right? We may be a little older, but, you know, if our moms are still on this earth, we're still to do this, right? It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Now, I realize it says parents are plural, right? But we'll substitute mothers today for the word parents. And I hope you realize that your mother is a parent. Right? I hope you realize that. But it says there, obey your mother, right? No back talk when she tells you to do something. No, yeah, but Mom, I'm playing this game, or I'm doing this, or I'm on the phone with so-and-so, or anything like that. No, okay, I'll do it, and then you don't do it, right? I used to be pretty good at that, I think. But Mom deserves your respect. Mom deserves your obedience. Remember, she's the one that cooks for you. She's probably the one that takes you shopping for clothes. Right? She takes care of you when you're sick, takes you to the doctor, takes you to your athletic events, and she probably does lots of cleaning up after you as well. And like many moms in today's society, she probably works outside the home to help provide for you and get you all the toys that you want. That's moms. And she probably sticks up for you. Even when she kind of thinks she can do no wrong. That's the way moms are with a lot of their kids. And she sticks up for you a lot, I'm sure. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were 7 of you, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would you get? A 6th, replied the boy. And the teacher said, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are seven of you. He said, yes, teacher, but you don't know my mother. My mother would say she didn't want any pie. But that's moms, isn't it? Sacrificing for us. I remember how, I'm sure, in fact, I know she did. Because we weren't always rolling in the money, as they say. There were a number of years where we were poor, period. That's all there was to it. We had a pair of dress shoes, Sunday go to meeting shoes, and we had a pair of play shoes. That was all we had for shoes. Okay? And I know mom sacrificed quite often for things that she probably needed that ended up going to us, the money going to us kids. But that's what moms do, don't they? Right? Now, in the Old Testament, in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That's one of the Ten Commandments. By the way, which one is it? Number five. Okay, number five. All right. And do you realize this is the only commandment that has a promise with it? The only one. Should tell us something about that commandment. Right? Now, in the old days, it's interesting because it says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Back in the Old Testament, there were some laws, if you will, that if kids were disobedient in certain ways, you could take them before the elders at the gate, and they would be stoned to death. We don't do that today. And in fact, I don't even know in the Old Testament there's any record of that ever happening, right? But there was a law that said that. A lot of you kids probably go, oh my gosh, I'm glad that's not around today, right? But it says to honor, right, your father and your mother. Honor your mother, right? Respect your mom. What does that mean? It means to be, what does honor mean? It means to be respect, regard, highly. In fact, Webster's 1828 dictionary says to treat with submission. And so that's what we're supposed to do as children. Honor our moms. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, talks about the wedding at Canaan. And, of course, we kind of know the story. You know, Jesus and his mother, Mary, went to the wedding. And she goes up to him. And you got to remember back in those days, the weddings were not just, you know, you had a wedding and then you had a reception for a few hours and everybody went home. These things would last for days, sometimes up to 7 days, right? And so there's a time that came along and Mary goes up to Jesus and she says, they're out of wine. Wine's all gone. And Jesus says to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And of course, this sounds kind of harsh to us. This is kind of a weird statement. And the word woman even sounds kind of harsh to us. But it wasn't. It was a term of respect, actually. And I'm not going to get into the whole teaching around that and about the whole thing. Just to say this. That during this time, this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And there's something going on here behind the scenes, if you will. And the thing that's going on is the relationship between Mary and Jesus are beginning to change. He is changing in such a way that he is, instead of being his son, her son, he's becoming her savior. That's what's going on. The roles are kind of shifting, if you will. And even though he would no longer be under her supervision as such, but now he would be doing what God the Father wanted him to do, right? But he still loved her. She was still his mom. But the relationship was beginning to change a little bit. In a sense, it's kind of like when we get married, right? Mom is still our mom. We should still honor her and respect her. But who are we really reporting to? Our spouses, right? If you will. Now, what's interesting is after this, she just says to the servants at the wedding there, she says, whatever he says, do it. Now, it's interesting because she never asked him to do anything, really. I mean, she said, hey, she made a statement, they're out of wine. And, of course, she turns around and says, whatever he does, whatever he says, do it. And, by the way, these are the last words that we read in the Bible from Mary. It's the last time we hear any words from her. But even though she didn't ask him to do anything, he knew what she wanted, and he did it. And he did it quietly, almost secretly, if you will, without any fanfare. And even though the relationship was changing, she was still his mom. He loved her deeply and would not do anything to hurt her. I don't see Jesus ever doing anything that would hurt Mary. And that's the way we should feel about our moms. No matter how old we may be, whether we're married or not married, that's the way we should feel about our moms. We would never want to do anything that hurts them. And I want to key in on this idea, especially you Utes. Is Jesus' obedience to his mom? You know, I kind of think sometimes about Jesus when he was growing up as a child. You know, him being perfect in every way, right? He never sinned. He wasn't like us. He didn't have our sin nature, right? And these are some of the things that we don't quite get our heads around sometimes. Even though Jesus as a kid had to learn, if you will, and so on and so forth, he never sinned. So, you know, I kind of doubt if Mary told him to take out the trash if she ever had to tell him twice. Right? I kind of doubt if he said, hey, Mom, let me borrow the car and then go out and decide he's going to have a few drinks and then gets in an accident on the way home, right? Like some teenagers do and stuff like that. I really doubt it. I doubt if there's any backtop ever from Jesus. He would have been a perfect son. He would have loved and respected his mom all his life, right? And that's what we should do. Now I realize, you youths and even us children, if you will, no matter how old we are, we're not perfect. We're not Jesus. But that still doesn't give an excuse for us to disrespect our moms and to be disobedient to our moms. You know, there's this thing going around. You see it, you know, kind of goes up and down a little bit, but you see this thing, a lot of people have bracelets with it on it. I've even seen people with tattoos on their arms that says, WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? And it's a thing to help us remind ourselves that we're making decisions. You know, what would Jesus do in this case? And so many times we apply that to things like, should I do drugs, not do drugs? Should I drink, not drink? Should I do this, not do that? But, you know, maybe we should apply this more in our everyday, everything we do lives, in the sense of how do we treat our mom? We can apply this to everything. You know, we should apply this to, you know, what mom tells us to do, we should do it. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus treat his mom, right? How would Jesus talk to his mom? What would Jesus do? There's another thing that I heard, haven't heard it for a while necessarily, but it's this idea that I think I heard it on James Dobson, where he used to tell his kids when they would go out, he'd say, "Now look, you remember, you're a child of the King, and when you make decisions, think of that, and make those decisions appropriately." Okay, that's true. We are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And we should think about that as we're making decisions in our lives. And so you young people, you know, think about those types of things when you're making decisions. Or when your mom asks you to do something, think about that. So my plea is to you, you know, she deserves your love, your obedience. You need to honor her and respect her. because she deserves it. You know, there could come a time in your life, whether you believe it or not, where she won't be around. Right? And you may regret how you've treated your mom. Don't do that. Don't do that. Tell her how much you love her, not just today, but every day. And then turn that love into action by being obedient. And notice what it says there at the end of the verse, verse 20 of Colossians 3. It says, "For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." You young ones want to know how to please the Lord? One way of doing it, obey your mom. Honor your mom. Respect your mom. And if only some of the kids today would learn that. You know, so much of the time I'm in the grocery store and I see these kids are just, I feel like smacking them myself, right? I know I can't do that, but, you know, and the moms are trying to control them and stuff like that. But, you know, geez, respect your moms. They truly, truly deserve it. And not, like I said, not just today, every day. And think of all the things that your mom does for you. You know, I listed some of them, but how she sacrifices for you. Not only her time, but probably some of the things that she could use, the money went for you. Think of that. Now, that's what she's supposed to do, but you know, you should honor her for that. Your mom deserves to be blessed. Absolutely deserves it. And of course, once again, for you husbands, don't forget, your wives deserve to be blessed. Your wives deserve to be loved. Your wives deserve to be treasured. Your moms deserve to be treasured and blessed and loved. And don't ever forget that. Now, you may ask yourself, you know, how can I do all this stuff? How can I accomplish this? You know, I've got bad habits. We all do, right? We may have tempers. We may have in mind that we're going to do these nice things and all this stuff, but we just have so much trouble with it, right? And that's just the nature we live in. But there is one, right, that can help you with all that. And that's the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. But you need to submit to the Holy Spirit. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. You need to pray and pray often about these things that we've talked about today. And you need to read God's Word and allow God to speak through you through His Word and through His Holy Spirit to accomplish these things. And believe me, you will change. You do those things and you submit those things to God and you ask God to give you strength, to give you the umption, if you will, to say yes or no when you're supposed to, right? And to love your mom, or to love your wives as you should, to change. He can do it. It can be done. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen it in my own life. I'm still a work in progress, but I've changed. Don't ask my wife, though. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah. But you can. And, of course, God is, you know, God's there to help us. That's why He sent His Holy Spirit. Jesus said He was our helper, to help us with things like this, right? To be able to do these things. And like I said, not only this day, but every day. Now, this Holy Spirit, there's only one way you get it. And that's by being a believer in Jesus Christ. And as you realize that you're a sinner, just like everybody in this room, and you surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, He will take a hold of you and begin to change you. And the Holy Spirit, as soon as you do that, takes up residence within you. And then He begins to change you. And most of the time, from the inside out. As you submit to him, he will change you. He will be there for you. But you only get it by surrendering to Jesus Christ. It's only one way. And so here in a minute, I'm going to say a prayer. And if any of you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do so. And we'll say a prayer called the, prayer of repentance. And you can surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, and then God can begin to change you and make you a better husband, a better son, a better daughter, a better wife. But don't forget, husbands, children, bless your wives, bless your moms. They truly, truly deserve it. Let's pray. As every head is bowed, if there's anyone here who feels the tug on their heart, I'm going to say a little prayer here, and you just repeat after me in silence, in your heart. And then if you do so, please come forward. We'll have some people up here and share that with us, and we'd like to just share some things with you. Father, I realize, Lord, that I'm a sinner. I realize, Lord, that I'm not the best husband. I realize, Lord, that I'm not the best son or daughter. I realize, Lord, that I need a Savior. And I want to put my trust in you, Father, all the rest of the days of my life. Lord, I surrender to you. I put my life into your hands. Lord, now begin to change me, Father. Fill your Holy Spirit within me, Father. Touch me. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I just pray, Father, for this morning that you will be with us husbands, that you will be with us the kids, Father. May we realize how much our wives and our moms mean to us. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. I ask, Father, for your blessings on each and every mom here, Lord, that you will touch their lives in a special way, that you will just bless them, Lord, abundantly, Father. And, Lord, all the time, Lord, may you just protect them and be with them and help them to realize, Lord, each mom here, how much she is loved. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And remember, one more thing, as Pastor Terry always shares on Mother's Day. Moms, do not do any dishes today. Okay? All right. God bless.